The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network,
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hey, hey! April 20th is just around the corner, and we at Bubble Genius want to wish you a happy 420.
Did you know that through the ages, marijuana has been used for medicinal and recreational purposes by stone bones like Queen Victoria, Carl Sagan, and Steve Jobs?
Its earliest recorded use is as early as 3727 BC.
So come celebrate this magnificent plant with us.
With things like our wonderful What Time Is It? Bath Bar. This lovely soap is enhanced with moisturizing hemp oil. No, you won't get a buzz. And it comes in either cannabis or Nag Champa scent. Sure to please any long-haired hippie types you know.
Or, for that moment after 420, try our Room Freshener Formula 421. Available in a variety of scents, and it comes in either a room spray or gel jar. Works great for non-stoners, too. Something for every stoner in your life, dirty hippie type, or otherwise.
BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Please welcome to the microphone, the Lieutenant of Laughs, the officer of Oral, the Westmoreland of Wit, swinging Stephen Hawk.
Hello, Vietnam, and greetings. Soon the news. Then, Lieutenant Steve. Who's that? It's me, old pal Frenchie.
Listen, Frenchie, let me ask you something. Do you like good food? Oh, but of course, the French love good food. Well, then I guess that would make you an Edie Gourmet. Oh, Lieutenant Steve. Oh, Frenchie. Oh, Lieutenant Steve. Frenchie, you know, I really shouldn't kid Frenchie because sometimes he stand gets mad at me and he could out hurt. Lieutenant Steve, let's play some music. Okay, Frenchie, what would you like to hear? Well, I love a good polka as much as the next man. Well, a good polka it is for my good friend, Frenchie.
Coming or going, you can be radioing. Radio is everywhere.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It's Thursday, April 17th, 2014, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, and that's Frenchie right over there.
That is one of my favorite, like, it's amazing. For a movie that I thought was good, but, like, nothing that, not by any means one of my favorite movies, yeah. The number of times that I reference Lieutenant Steve, because it's so perfect, it's so cringeworthy of somebody who's so completely not self-aware.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And who thinks he's funny. That's like, I run into those types of people all the time. We talk about those types of people all the time.
I just made a big reference to that in my Greg Gutfeld column today.
Exactly.
Oh, hey, we're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com, the best bath and body products in the universe. Go to www.bubblegenius.com and get all of your soaps there. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Charles is easily the best attorney I've ever had, and I've had a few. He's fast, he's smart, and he knows how to communicate with his clients. The Bowen Group covers commercial banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. It's thebowenlawgroup.com. Click the link on the podcast page.
The better than your stat rape attorney?
Yeah, way better. No, I'm kidding. Worse.
I like how you feel like you have to say that.
But you know,
there's somebody out there who's going to go, Bob was on trial for statutory rape.
Yeah, well, you know, Twitter.
That's true, exactly. Outrage.
By the way, be sure to click on the BobSeska.com Amazon link. It's right below the logo at BobSeska.com. It says Amazon link. You can't miss it. Big capital letters. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing additional. We just get Amazon pays us a little chunk of that. So thank you in advance. Also brought to you by Chez's memoir. It's called Dead Star Twilight at deusexmalcontent.com, or you can get it at amazon.com.
Yes.
Yeah, I got everything in right during the theme song, huh? Okay, so lots to talk about on the show today. Right as I was prepping the show, something happened with Harry Reid, right? Harry Reid talking about the Bundy Ranch situation?
I just put it up. I put up the one quote. The Las Vegas Review Journal just published this. I'll read it. U.S. Senator Harry Reid on Thursday called supporters of Bunkerville rancher Cliven. Is it Cliven or Cliven? I've never actually watched a report on this guy.
I've been saying Cliven.
I think it's Cliven. Cliven Bundy, domestic terrorists, because they defended him against the Bureau of Land Management, cattle round up with guns and put their children in harm's way. They're nothing more than domestic terrorists.
Oh.
I repeat, what happened there was domestic terrorism. Cliven Bundy does not recognize the United States. The United States, he says, is a foreign government. He doesn't pay his taxes. He doesn't pay his fees. He doesn't follow the law. He continues to thumb his nose at authority. It is an issue we cannot let go, just walk away from.
You know, he's this close to saying that Cliven Bundy is an illegal immigrant. I mean, he might as well have, because that's what he was basically saying. But yeah, I mean, I have got nothing wrong with that.
I think he's absolutely right.
He really
is. He's absolutely right. If Cliven Bundy were a black guy, the right would be losing its mind. They would be calling him a deadbeat and a moocher and a parasite and a welfare queen.
Yep.
And all the things that he actually is, mm-hmm. by the way.
Yeah, sure.
And as I just wrote, more than that, if he were brown and his name were Ahmed and the people who took up arms against the feds last weekend had been people just like him, even if they were American citizens, dear God, you could hear the explosion from here. The right would have a collective shit fit. They would be demanding that Obama call him a terrorist, demanding that they send the military in to kill everybody involved. And if Obama didn't do it, they would be calling him a terrorist sympathizer.
Now imagine, if you will, that Jersey Wall guy, the one militant who was with his, he had a machine gun and he was crouched down behind a Jersey Wall aiming it ostensibly at federal agents.
Yep.
Imagine if that guy was wearing a turban and instead of a firearm, he had C4 strapped to his chest.
Yep.
Just imagine that for a second. That's what these guys are doing. But, you know, I'm constantly vacillating this week between being outraged by these guys and laughing my ass off at them. Because, I mean, I watched that video and I included it in one of my columns earlier in the week. You can go find it. There's a video of these yokels on their horses marching in a line of battle towards the Bureau of Land Management Rangers. And there's like two SUVs and maybe five BLM Rangers. And there's this whole line of these idiot cosplay yokels pretending to be in some sort of Revolutionary War line of battle.
Mm-hmm.
With their flags waving and their shit-kicking boots on and their big 10-gallon hats.
Yeah, and if I'm correct, I'm pretty sure that I did see one of the standoffs on, I've read a lot, but I haven't, and I've seen the videos, the stuff that's been posted up on, some of the stuff that's been posted up online, but I'm pretty sure amongst all of that, I saw one of the sort of standoffs, the two sides yelling at each other, or the one side yelling and the other guy trying to, the agent trying to calm people down. And is it my imagination or was the agent, did he have a beard, a pair of Oakley shades and a backward baseball cap?
Yes.
And because if he did, all I'm thinking is this is the last guy on earth you want to f*** with.
Yeah, absolutely.
This guy looks like every special forces guy you've ever seen in a movie.
Right.
And you know that he could break your neck in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I saw a video of him. They had set up those temporary corral fences.
Yeah.
And that agent was on one side. I guess he was a ranger, a BLM ranger. I'm not sure exactly. Yeah. And then on the other side, we have one of the Bundy kids. Like, I don't know, there was David Bundy who was arrested, and then there's, Jessup Bundy, who's the other one. I don't know who it is.
Right.
But one of the Bundy kids were negotiating with this guy. And this guy, you don't want to mess with him. And,
He looks like every guy that went in to get Osama bin Laden at the end of Zero Dark Thirty.
I mean, it seems like a bunch of, like, eighth graders acting out. Like, a bunch of eighth graders. Suddenly the school lunches change, and the eighth graders think they're going to protest and stick it to the man, and then run someone for class president who will end homework. You know, it seems like that to me. It seems like nonsense, but it's a lot more serious than that. You know, but I just have a hard time taking them seriously.
Right.
You know? And that's.
But you know what? The crappy thing, though, is you know what happens. What happens is if the feds go in and do their jobs, do what they're supposed to do, because this deadbeat has been mooching for, you know, the past 20 years.
Yeah.
If they go in and do what they're supposed to do, and there is bloodshed, and these assholes start firing, and that turns into what it would be, which is basically a massacre of those guys.
Oh yeah, they'd have no chance.
There would not a chance in hell. But if that were to happen, the number of domestic terrorist attacks we would see, because it would be in the eyes of these dumb yokels, it would be war.
Oh, of course. Of course, there would be. Yeah, you're exactly right. There would be a ripple effect, and there would be
another Murrah bombing.
Because this is all about a bunch of guys who think who've been hyped up and ginned up by Alex Jones and Ron Paul and all these crazies on AM talk radio and Fox News Channel to believe that Obama is some kind of Marxist gun grabbing, you know, Second Amendment hating senator. President. Yep. I was channeling Dan Bedondi there for a second.
Please, we should do, I'm telling you, Bedondi every week. Every single week.
But, you know, that's just it. They're so amped up by all of this rhetoric, all of this, you know, anti-Obama, anti-Harry Reid, all of the rhetoric that's surrounding all of this. They believe in this nonsense story that the president is Hitler, and the president is coming to arrest all of them. This is just the latest example of it. It's been happening for 5 years now. It started in those lines. It started in those lines at the Sarah Palin rallies.
Oh, yeah.
With the red baiting and, we don't want a communist and who pals around with domestic terrorists in the Oval Office. And then that spawned into the Tea Party. And then there are actual hints of some of this radicalism that occurred during the Clinton years. Because there was a lot of this kind of stuff during the Clinton years. I mean, I remember those stories quite well. All the conspiracy theories, not nearly as bad as it is now. Because there wasn't the internet then. But had there been the internet during the Clinton years, we would have been seeing a lot of the same sort of thing.
Yep.
Because all of this misinformation and all of this hype and nonsense gets around quickly now. So, of course, they can hear this. I mean, do you think 20 years ago, someone like Alex Jones would have the same kind of impact he does now? I mean, Alex Jones and Ron Paul have been stoking this. They absolutely want to see some shots fired.
They do. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, Ron Paul is the legislative patient zero of this crap.
Yeah.
You know, on the legislative side. And then, yeah, guys like Alex Jones are loving every single second of this.
Have you seen any of the Alex Jones videos lately?
I can only imagine how insane he's gone.
You can cut glass with his erect nipples. I mean, he is so, so excited about all of this. I mean, just more unhinged than ever. It's like Alex Jones in breaking news mode. It's an emergency. Something terrible is going to happen at any second. This is an emergency situation. Pray for our guys on the ground. Our guys on the ground there. We're having reporters and we're getting all kinds of news in that they're going to shoot. They're going to shoot us and they're going to shoot us in the heads. And that's going to be it. It's an emergency. He's just loving this because this is, you know, this is Christmas for him. Something like this happens and Alex Jones can shoehorn every damn conspiracy theory he's fabricated into this situation.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, every single one. I mean, you can throw in false flags and you can throw in New World Order and you can get all of that squeezed into this one. Hmm. And again, I'm looking at the picture here online of these these hooples in this line of battle with their horses and their flags and their
exactly. Oh, they're playing dress up.
Yeah,
they're Sheriff Joe Arpaio, you know, and his posse. Yeah. They have this dream that things, you know, that progress has not happened. But again, one of the things that this highlights. And by the way, I there's a good and a bad to this. I take that there is a really great – one of the great things about America is that it's so vast and that there are so many different types of people. And I think that's actually what makes us pretty awesome. But the idea – and I know I've talked about this before that, you know, I'm watching these idiots having what they call a fucking range war in the year 2014. And I'm like – I live in Los Angeles. I have zero, you know, my life has been spent in LA, New York, and Miami. I have no idea what the fuck you are talking about. Shut up. You know what? You're not a cowboy anymore. That's just right.
And so what's happening at this point? Because I stopped paying attention when I heard that the BLM was pulling out and they weren't going to, they were releasing the cattle. And that was it. I thought that was it. It was game over. Everyone would disperse. But it seems like it's still going on. I mean, are they still out there with their...
Well, one of the reasons it's still going on is that guys like Ron Paul are warning that it's not over, that what's going to wind up happening is they're going to wait for everybody to go away, and then they're going to come back in the dead of night and scoop up 500 cattle or whatever the hell it is. And when they come this time, according to Ron Paul, they're bringing Waco and Ruby Ridge with them. There's no way to win this.
Yeah.
You come in and you enforce the law. You uphold the law.
Yeah.
And there will be bloodshed.
Well, there's,
and
I mean,
the government will get the blame. You do nothing and you set an example for everybody that if you have enough guns, you can do what these assholes have always said you should be able to do, which is essentially hold off the federal government.
Yeah. Right, and I think the government needs to be completely dispassionate about this. I mean, the government ought to be doing what it should be doing. There should be rules of engagement, for lack of a better term. There should be rules of engagement about this sort of thing. They do X, you have to do Y. They move this, they take this step, you take this step. You back down, and it sets a horrible, horrible precedent.
Right, you can't do that. You back down, and it's going to be... My God, it will be open season.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And it will be open season. It will be open season in a figurative sense. If there's bloodshed, it will be open season in a literal sense.
Now I get the calculus. I mean, they're going to continue to pursue Bundy using legal means and so forth. Legal means and other actions that he's been ignoring for 20 years.
Exactly, that's going to work. It worked very well for 20 years. 20 years. Now I happen to agree. There's no reason for people to get killed over cattle. There just isn't. Mm-hmm. There is not.
Yeah.
But there is a reason for people to get killed over guns being trained, over high-powered rifles and AR-15s and other assault weaponry being trained on federal agents.
That's right. That's right. I mean, look, if you don't pay your mortgage, the bank will seize your house. If you don't pay your taxes, the IRS will put a lien on your property. And if you still don't pay your taxes,
it sucks. The IRS sucks so bad. We all have to do it, though.
Yeah, but that's the price of being an American citizen. That's just what you got to do. Hey, look, we're very, very late for a break. Back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
This is appropriate.
Yes.
Battle without honor or humanity. Okay. So everything seems to be ginned up now exclusively by Ron Paul and Talk Radio and Fox News Channel, by the way. Rachel Maddow did a big segment on Fox News Channel contributing to all of this.
The idea that these people are rallying behind a guy who is breaking the law.
Yeah.
And he's not – it's not as if he's a part of some larger movement. He's just one old asshole. But they have decided that he's part of a larger movement, which is just people who are pissed off at the government.
They're drawing a line in the sand. John Goodman and the Big Lebowski.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just what it is. I mean, they're all John Goodman and the Big Lebowski. That's who we're talking about here.
That's what happens when you f*** a man in the ass.
They really are. And, you know, since when did conservatives become all about lawlessness instead of law and order? I thought conservatives were the law and order people.
Nope.
Guess not.
Stranger in the ass. I had to look that up. I actually did that, like a stranger. I said man. Because it really bothers me when I get movie lines wrong. I'm like, I got that wrong.
You totally
That's
just Googled
what
it.
I did. I totally Googled it. I'm like, I got that wrong. I got a great line from Lebowski that I know really well wrong. My brain doesn't work anymore.
By the way, I don't know what's going on with Skype today, but Skype is acting a little strangely. I don't know if you can tell when I talk, but
it always does for me.
It always does. So. Okay. Oh, that's annoying. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about on the show. I meant to talk about this earlier in terms of what's coming up. Snowden was on RT today offering Vladimir Putin a great big kiss on the mouth. Big, sloppy, wet kiss on the mouth.
I really enjoyed Greenwald's response.
Yeah.
Which is that do his detractors expect him to go up something along these, I'm paraphrasing here, like, you know, run up and burn down the Kremlin or something like that. I got no.
Yeah, it's just
thank
another
you for that. Thank you for that straw man crap.
Yeah, exactly. It's another false choice fallacy from Glenn Greenwald. Snowden should storm the Kremlin, take their surveillance docs and demand to be sent to the U.S. just like his brave patriotic critics would do.
That's it. There is. Thank you. You had it ready.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we want to talk about that. Absolutely. We also want to talk about new Obamacare sign-up numbers, Greg Gutfeld's tax rant. We're going to talk about that coming up. Plus, Cenk gets $4 million from a strange, strange source. Matt Taibbi on who was tougher on American corporations, Bush or Obama? It's a big, big, big setup right there. Plus a whole lot more. We're going to talk about this Snowden thing, first of all. So, RT. RT, quite obviously, got Snowden onto the show to throw Putin a softball.
Of course he did.
So, Snowden appears with his choppy, crappy video feed. And, you know, the floating head of Snowden, as T-Bog described it. The floating head of Snowden appeared on this RT program, and it was hard to follow. I'm not going to play the audio because it is very hard to follow with translations and Russian flying all around. But basically, Snowden said...
Snowden came out and said, Yagshmash, my name is Snowden. I like sex.
This suit is gray. Not. This suit is black, not. Oh, man. So... Snowden gets on a video to talk directly to Vladimir Putin. For all we know, for the first time. and first sets it all up by going through his flashcards about how awful the United States is and the surveillance.
Does the lady in red begin playing when they show them on camera together?
Right. Against All Odds by Phil Collins.
Yeah.
So Snowden goes off on his rant criticizing the United States and the intelligence community, and then segues to Putin.
Which came as a huge surprise to Putin.
Yeah,
huge.
Right.
Putin, oh, what? Oh, they're our friends.
But instead of saying to Putin, here, I know all about SWARM and the Russian surveillance state. We know all of this is going on. We know all about all the spying on journalists during the Olympics. He could go down a list of things that he could have Googled in about 3 seconds. Things that happen in Russia's intelligence community. And trespasses far more egregious than the NSA, I assure you. He could have run down that list and said, do you have any response? But instead he said, does Russia operate in the same lawless fashion as the United States and the NSA?
If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
So, I mean, obviously, this is a coup for Putin. Because Putin can sit there without being criticized and just start, well, agree with Snowden about the United States, which he did. And then said, well, yeah, there. I mean, Russia, we do what we can to fight terrorists. Yeah, sure, we're going to do that. But we also have protections to protect the people. And we also have oversight and regulations in the Russian government against the intelligence community and its overreach. So he, it set him right up to do this big PR propaganda speech with Snowden in the room. Well, technically not in the room, but on a video screen. So, right. I mean, it was just like, it was like a big, here, Mr. Putin, I'm going to give you a reach around now. Here's a nice, big, sloppy, wet kiss on the mouth. Enjoy your propaganda. Bye-bye.
Right, exactly. And Greenwald just eats it up.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And you're right. I mean, honestly, it shocks me that his. I'm willing to acknowledge that some of the stuff that was made, I don't like the way it was made public. I don't like anything he did afterwards. But some of the stuff that was made public by him was, you know, was worthwhile material. The people who worship him, just nothing. Nothing. Mm-hmm. He can do no wrong. He is Saint Snowden.
That's right. Well, you know, the other thing he could have asked is, what the hell are you doing in Ukraine? What the hell are you doing down there, Mr. Putin? He's not going to ask any of that stuff.
Right. No, he's not going to ask it because he's not going. He can't piss on the deal he's got.
That's right.
What he could have done is basically, I mean, the best he probably could have done, since there was no way for him to do this and piss on the people giving him asylum, the best thing he could have done is nothing at all. And basically said, you know, look, that's what it comes down to. That's the answer. Not storming the Kremlin, you jackass, but basically saying no. No, I won't. You know what? I did this, and thank you for your hospitality, but I can't be a party to your propaganda.
That's right. So in the context
– I won't let you use me for that.
Right. Well, I mean, he's been invited onto RT, which is the Russia state-run television network. Why do you think he was invited by the Russia state television network to ask Putin a question or to say something to Putin? Obviously, to set up Putin for a sweetheart response, a nice speech in which he vilifies the United States and lionizes Russia. Mm. Of course, he's going to do that. That was the whole idea. And besides, this all plays into this overall idea of keeping Snowden there, which is here's Russia helping this hero of the people, and here's the United States hunting a hero of the people.
Right.
That's the real coup for Russia here, as they're invading another country. It's so frustrating. But, I mean, it looks like even some of the Snowden people are starting to go, huh? Kind of giving Snowden the side eye today.
I mean, you have to, in all seriousness, I mean it. I know I'm not a fan of his at all. I'm not a fan of what he did, you know, of what he did following the way he released these documents and what he did following that. Mm-hmm. But you have to look at it logically. You have to look at it rationally and say, this is wrong. It is. No matter who you are, this is what he's just done. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even Charlie Pierce was like that today. Charlie Pierce, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done that. That was not a smart move. But again, it all plays into the Bill Maher theory, which is that every time Snowden opens his mouth, batshit crap falls out.
Right.
We got to take another break. More show after this.
He spent years pushing the corporate suits, their rules, and their laws to the edge. Wait till you hear what he's like when he makes his own rules. The Don Geronimo Show.
Discounted yearly subscriptions still available. Also available in quarterly or monthly packages. And I'll see you there. The Don Geronimo Show. Tomorrow and every Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific. Live right here on the REL Network.
Hey, hey. April 20th is just around the corner, and we at Bubble Genius want to wish you a happy 420.
Did you know that through the ages, marijuana has been used for medicinal and recreational purposes by stone bones like Queen Victoria, Carl Sagan, and Steve Jobs?
Its earliest recorded use is as early as 3727 BC.
So come celebrate this magnificent plant with us.
With things like our wonderful What Time Is It? Bath Bar. This lovely soap is enhanced with moisturizing hemp oil. No, you won't get a buzz. And it comes in either cannabis or Nag Champa scent. Sure to please any long-haired hippie types you know.
Or, for that moment after 420, try our Room Freshener Formula 421. Available in a variety of scents, and it comes in either a room spray or gel jar. Works great for non-stoners, too. Something for every stoner in your life, dirty hippie type, or otherwise.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And when you go to BubbleGenius.com, you can type in a promo code and it gets you 15% off everything you buy there. When you go to check out at BubbleGenius.com, type in Bob and Chez, BobAndChez. And you get 15% off everything you buy from BubbleGenius.com. Hey, while you're at it, go to iTunes. Look up the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. Give us a nice review, why don't you? And tell all your friends to subscribe via iTunes. That's nice. And that's all.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. There was some other Snowden-Greenwald stuff. I'm not really interested in talking about it. I mean, I could barely muster the energy to do a couple of Greenwald things this week.
Right.
But you know, I'm just
you didn't really get into his Pulitzer.
No, I wrote one paragraph about it.
Right.
You know.
Fair enough. Yeah. Let's move on. You're right.
I mean, ultimately, I think Pulitzer had to give an award to one of those guys. I would have preferred that it had been the Washington Post and Bart Gellman.
Mm-hmm.
I think his errors were less egregious than The Guardian, but to give a Pulitzer to The Guardian was an atrocity. I mean, it really, really was. Considering just the computer smash up story alone, just that alone should have disqualified The Guardian for any awards. And remember that this Pulitzer is going to The Guardian as an entity. As a publication, not to Greenwald or Poitras or whoever individual, or Spencer Ackerman or whoever individually. This is going to The Guardian. The Guardian. The Guardian who said that all of their Snowden files were kept on MacBooks. And then when they show pictures and videotape of the quote unquote MacBooks being destroyed, that's all PC parts. Obviously, this whole thing was staged. This was a staged event. You know, when they first reveal it, it's in paragraph 25 of an article about something else. Are you kidding? And then they release a videotape 6 months later. Just it's a big piece of crap, is what it is. Big fake story, and that's just one of many. That was just one of many things they did wrong. But Guardian gets a Pulitzer because they got the source. They got the source. So this is all about the source anyway. This is all about. The scoop of the year, but I really think that it should have just gone to one publication and the publication with the fewer egregious mistakes and fewer hyperbolic headlines, and that would have been the Washington Post. You know, I mean, the Bart Gellman's you put Bart Gellman's reporting up alongside Greenwald or Spencer Ackerman or any of those guys, you can tell who the real journalist is. You can tell the real deal. I mean, even though I disagree with how this is all done, I from a pure journalistic review point of view, the way Bart Gellman reported on this Snowden stuff was easily had far more integrity than Greenwald could have ever mustered.
Right.
So anyway, I said I'm not going to talk about Greenwald and Snowden, and
there
I went. I can't help it. Okay, so Obamacare hit 8 million enrollments today.
Awesome.
That's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's been how many days since the deadline? It's been 17 days since the deadline, and the numbers have gone up by another million enrollees. That's huge. And you know what makes me laugh about all of this, Jez, is that for the last couple of months, the Republicans have been wheeling out their 2014 midterm strategy. We're going to make Obamacare the centerpiece of this because everyone hates it. But of course, they're basing this strategy on news that occurred 6 months ago. Whatever October was, however many months October was. 7 months. October, yeah. November, yeah, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're still 7 months away from Election Day. And this is... This is their grand strategy. This is how they plan to take the Senate back and increase their margins in the House. By basing everything around Obamacare. And now, with 7 months to go, Obamacare is turning out to be a rousing success. prices are, it's bending the cost curves, first of all. The premiums are going to be overall lower. They're still going to rise, but not at the pace that they would have without it. We got 8 million people enrolled in it. You know, positive reports from the CBO come out practically every week. And this is what they've latched themselves to. They're going to make this the campaign issue. The people who have been saying for the last couple of months that it's going to be a dark day in November for the Democrats are just so full of crap. It's unbelievable. They're just yanking it out of their ass. Because, I mean, to make any prediction in even April about what's going to happen in November is absurd. Much less when we have indicator after indicator that this law, upon which the Republicans are basing their entire midterm strategy, is actually turning out to be a success.
Right.
Just hilarious to me. We got to take a one last break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
It is the 30th anniversary of this album being released. Hard to believe. Grace Under Pressure by Rush. One of my favorite albums, but all that we can do is just survive. It's strangely one that they had no producer for. I think a little bit of it suffers because of that, but I mean, God, there's some great songs. We've talked about this album before, Chez, through the blogs, because it has Between the Wheels on it.
Right.
Last track, one of our mutual favorite Rush songs. But anyway, so happy 30th anniversary to Grace Under Pressure. So moving on, okay. Let's talk about Greg Gutfeld.
Okay, do we have to?
Yeah.
What an insufferable cunt that man is.
He really, really
I feel bad because you're going to have to bleep that. And I just called him the C word, and he deserves every single part of it.
But see, what you don't get, Chez, is when I bleep just enough to obscure the word. But we always know what the word is. Because you'll hear the C and you'll hear the T.
He is just a despicable creature.
He really is. I mean, he's
because whereas what separates him from everyone else is the smugness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean his shit doesn't stink. That's
the smugness from a guy who thinks that he's funny on top of everything else.
Yeah. Oh, Frenchie. Oh, exactly. Lieutenant Steve. Oh, Frenchie. Yeah, so he went on a rant yesterday on the 5. No, it wasn't yesterday. It was on tax day, Tuesday. He went on a rant about taxes, of course, as predicted. You know, we were talking about this last week. As predicted, with tax day coming up, the Republicans are going to wheel out, basically the April version of their war on Christmas. You know, a bunch of mythology about paying taxes. And one of their favorite ones is half the country doesn't pay taxes.
Yep.
Just across the board. Millions of Americans just get away with not paying a cent in taxes. Meanwhile, all of us makers are suffering in the trenches of paying our taxes. Yeah. But all these people, all these takers over here are a bunch of moochers and deadbeats. And by the way, long live Cliven Bundy. That's funny, too. Fox News Channel praising Bundy's efforts at the ranch, but then criticizing people who don't pay taxes.
Yep.
So
yeah, exactly.
So Greg Gutfeld did what I think is a pretty typical and predictable Greg Gutfeld monologue on The 5 on Tuesday, which, by the way, The 5 is the most popular show on Fox News Channel. Well, I think one of the two most popular. I think it's O'Reilly, and then it's The 5. Because they're, you know why it's called The 5? It's on at 5 o'clock, and there are 5 people on it. Get it? Lieutenant Steve.
Well, it's the only thing I enjoy about that name is that you have to work in TV and work in TV news to understand the sort of is the inside baseball hint that they're giving you, but that's actually the easiest name on earth to come up with, because that's what that if you work in TV and you especially if you work in cable, then that's what they call the hours anyway. They're like, are you doing the 7 today? I'm doing this. All right, I'm on the 7, I'm on the 8, you know, that's what they call the show.
Yeah.
So basically the show until it became whatever it was going to become, the producers behind the scenes just called it the 5.
So a lot of creative thought went into that.
Yeah, exactly.
They should just call all their shows that. O'Reilly should become the 8.
Right, the 8. Hannity, the Ocho.
Hannity becomes the 9. Yeah, the Ocho.
The Ocho.
Right. Yeah, not a million years.
ESPN 8, the Ocho.
Hannity would be the 9. Right? But anyway, so Gutfeld does this tax rant and works in just a lot of fun nonsense. Like a lot of things that he thinks is really funny and serious, and a lot of stuff that the rest of us think is absolute horseshit.
Yay, it's tax day, or for 70 million households, Tuesday.
See, you get it? It's just, it's for everyone, it's tax day, and people who don't pay taxes, it's just Tuesday. It would have been better if he had said, today is tax day, but for 70 million people, not.
Because for them, they pay no federal income tax, so they're left wondering why everyone's at the post office sweating through their shirts.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the first big mistake, and this is the part of the misinformation that Fox routinely wheels out.
Everyone, including me, Greg Gutfeld, who had an accountant who did everything for me this year, exactly. And I've gotten nowhere near a post office in about 10 years.
Right. Well, so what he doesn't know or just refuses to tell his audience, you know what?
By the way, Gutfeld's voice, by the way, I want to punch his voice. He sounds, he sounds like the little dog that bounced around the bigger dog on the old Warner Brothers cartoons. Yeah, Spike, we're going to go get us a cat, aren't we today, Spike?
Yay,
Spike's my friend because he's so strong.
Yay, it's tax day. Tax day, but for everyone else, it's Tuesday.
Jag off.
Oh, man. See, the thing is, everyone has to file a tax return. Gutfeld. Not like people who end up paying zero in federal income taxes every April. It's not like they just, I don't have to pay anything. I don't have to file then. Well, there might be a few of those people, but they're stupid. You have to, by federal law, you have to file a tax return, regardless of whether your tax burden is zero or $1,000 or $20,000. You have to file an income tax. Everyone has to file an income tax return. All adults have to file an income tax return.
Don't I know it?
So people who don't end up having to pay federal income tax aren't looking at people who are paying in line and going, what are all those people doing? It's just that's not how it works. But that's this la-la land, this mythological nonsense Fox News alternate reality. That's what they want you to think. That's what they want their audience to think. They're just a bunch of these deadbeats who are sitting around drinking Ripple and not paying their taxes. Greg Gutfeld.
I don't blame him. I envy them.
I don't blame him. I envy them. Bah, lady. Blavin.
A tax form to them is like a coupon for Head and Shoulders if you're bald.
Bald, get it? Coupon. If you're bald, you don't need a coupon for.
I swear to God, there are so many times when I've thought to myself that if, like, you know, when Breitbart used to write to me once in a while, and I really realized that if I went over to that side, just the fact that I have the ability to write somewhat humorous copy on occasion, and I can be an asshole while being somewhat humorous, not patting myself on the back, but I could have made a fortune.
Yeah,
I just could have.
Oh yeah,
you know. Gutfeld's an idiot,
and it's so.
And they love him. They think he's a. They think he's a comedic genius.
It's so easy to write this stuff too. I mean, he basically just he started off with basically what amounts to a not joke. Okay, yeah. You tell me that you couldn't write this stuff while you were sleeping.
Yep,
that's nonsense.
This is how dependence works. Big government is grand if you don't feel its hand.
By the way, he was just rhyming there. Wait until the alliteration comes up.
Not that I don't love taxes. Without them, how would people like Harry Reid thrive? Useless in productive society, hucksters rely on us as their welfare. Reid and his ilk look at America and see millions of wallets and purses ready to be picked to perpetuate their power.
Ah, ha, 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 ha. The alliteration, the sign of a literary genius.
Yep. Yeah, I would like to go back and trust me. I worked in television for 20 years. I want to go back and just smack the crap out of the first news manager who decided that alliteration made for good television.
Purses picked to perpetuate their power.
God, I hate you so much.
I wrote in my column today, he should have continued by saying, "Takers tell taxpayers to willfully withdraw their wages for wicked welfare. I'm Greg Gutfeld. Good night." And I just, maybe,
if you've got an alliterative name, oh man, you're just that.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't help but to think of Albert Brooks in Broadcast News.
Yep.
When William Hurt uses alliteration on the news and Albert Brooks is watching and he goes, "A lot of alliteration from anxious anchors placed in powerful posts." It's just a sign of being a hack. That's just what that is.
It is. Alliteration is hacky.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't stand alliteration in television. I mean, over the shoulder graphics that use alliteration. I mean, Jesus, God bless WSVN in Miami where I came up, but they are masters at that kind of thing.
Yeah.
At coming up with whatever you can do to make something alliterative, it's not just a storm, it's a storm strike heading for South Florida. I mean, it's amazing. In some ways, I'm very proud of them. It's amazing what they can come up with. It's kind of genius.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Deadly douche.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll accidentally alliterate, like two words will start with the same letter.
Did it right there.
Yeah. I'll accidentally alliterate, right? Yeah. But it'll be completely unintentional, and then I'll catch it, and I'll go, I gotta change that. Yeah. I gotta come up with a different word. Because I don't want to even accidentally alliterate. Here's more Greg Gutfeld wisdom.
See, my theory of government is really simple. It's all about the...
It's a simple theory of government coming from a Fox News Channel host.
There it is.
Fancy that. Let's hear this very simple theory of government.
The street. Government should keep things off the street. Thugs, the insane, invading armies, and keep things on the street, like cement and lampposts. Everything else, we can handle.
Oh, yeah, really? We can handle that.
And by thugs, I mean Negroes.
Right. And somehow the insane. The insane. We should keep the insane off the street. The insane. What is he, from 1920?
We should keep them off the street, see?
Yeah, keep them off the street. Get all those insanes off the street.
I live in a place where there are no insane, nor are there Negroes. Yeah, they have been put in a place for the criminally insane. Hospital for the criminally insane.
Oh, Gutfeld.
Taking to Statesville Sanitarium.
You lousy hack.
She's schizophrenic and also a known lesbian.
Oh, my God. So we can handle everything else, evidently. Everything else like international diplomacy.
Take the insane off the street. Put them in the Fox News studios.
Exactly. Well, that's what they're doing. They're giving back. They're taking the insane off of the cement that Gutfeld thinks the government should create and putting them in the Fox News Channel studios.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's funny that we just random people can handle everything else, like disease control, international diplomacy, regulation of energy, the adjudication of the law. By the way, who's going to collect the taxes that Gutfeld thinks everyone should pay? It's not just that they don't think things through. They all have this like uber simplistic idea of what government is all about.
Of course, because it's bumper stickers. Think about who they're aiming at. Mm-hmm. It all has to be very simplistic. And I'm not saying that everybody who's a conservative is dumb. Far from it.
No.
But the people who they're specifically trying to rile up, their bread and butter, very simple. By the way, they happen to think that simplicity, that there's some sort of nobility in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, talking to
I can read it off a bumper sticker, and I can drink a beer, so that makes it good.
Got to make sure to talk to the folks.
Mm-hmm, the folks, exactly.
Let the folks understand it. Put the tax code into everyday language that people can understand. That's what it's all about.
You know who actually uses that word? I used to have a work with an anchor who was like, I will never use that term. Like, I mean, you know, that's something that turns up in a lot of local news scripts. Yeah. And it's a crutch word. Folks is a crutch word. And you know who uses it a lot?
Who?
Obama.
He does.
Obama a lot. And it makes me crazy. Well, every time he says that, it just, you know, it's nails on a chalkboard for me.
It's, yeah, and I don't think anyone's really talked about this. It's actually a Hawaii thing. People
in,
people in Hawaii say folks. That's like people say, oh, yeah, you folks over there. That, it's just it's like a colloquialism for Hawaii. Very, very common here. And that's one of the very few Hawaii things that still linger in Obama's speech, in Obama's speaking, is the use of folks. He doesn't really say, you don't really catch any, you don't catch the accent or anything. And there actually is a very distinct Hawaii accent. And you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the upper Midwest accent. It sounds like a little bit like the Fargo accent. Strangely, Hawaii. You never imagine the Hawaii accent sounding like Minnesota.
If somebody like came to me and they looked like they were Polynesian and something like that came out of their mouth, I'd run.
Well, there's the pidgin accent, which is very distinct in Hawaii. But then there's also just the overall speaking
the pidgin accent.
Yeah, the Hawaii has this pidgin. Language. It's sort of like slang. It's kind of like
so they talk like Tom Hanks in Cloud Atlas.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a Hawaii version of Cajun. You know how like Cajun has its own almost dialect and words and abbreviations for things. That's the way Hawaiian pidgin is. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, what was I talking about? Talking about Greg Gutfeld. Oh yeah, here's. More of Gutfeld's rant.
Which is why I'm bummed that 110 days of my salary goes directly into the mouth of a blob that turns my efforts into useless poop.
Yeah. If you're going to have a rant on Fox News Channel, make sure to work the word poop into it.
They understand that. The folks understand that.
Part of the useless poop, by the way, Mr. Gutfeld, is that national defense you were demanding just a second ago. Yeah, that's what you pay into. And by the way, 110 days of a salary, is he an idiot? He's paying a 33% effective tax rate. He's one of the insane.
Exactly.
If you're making Gutfeld money and you're paying 33%, literally 33% of your salary to the federal government, you're doing it wrong.
For purposes of being resentful,
yeah.
he as far as anyone else is concerned, it's 33.
That's right. Or he needs to fire his accountant for God's sake. Because if he's not taking all kinds of deductions for business and he's got, you know, all the stuff, all the loopholes that rich people use, if he's not exploiting those things, he needs to fire his accountant if he's paying a 33% effective tax rate. Also gives you a sense of where Gutfeld is in terms of his earnings. But then again, he does host two shows on Fox News Channel. Oh, my God. I just completely lost track of time. We need to wrap things up.
Well, what do you know?
And we didn't get to all of it. We didn't get to all of the Gutfeld.
Now we've got a whole other show.
I got sidetracked
and
by...
You know what? And seriously, screw Gutfeld.
Yeah. Well, you know, the most generous description you can make of Gutfeld is that he's a professional troll. I mean, that's what he does. He does... says things like that so that people like me will respond to it.
But he's a douchebag. He's, you know, he's another one of these assholes on Fox News who comes off as a bully and a douche because they're picking on the wrong people. They're not, you know, I mean, by the way, you can get away with if you're genuinely doing comedy, you can mock all types. I got no issue with that.
Sure.
But he and his Fox News cohorts, they are constantly, when they're getting snarky, they're always taking shots at people far beneath them.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
They're not even aiming to the side.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? No, actually, that's not fair. There are times that they do. And my attitude is like when they knock around on the, you know, when they beat up the president, at least they're aiming higher than themselves. But to pick on poor people, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Gutfeld was basically saying they're lucky to be poor. You're lucky to be poor. It's like in The Fisher King when David Hyde Pierce says, yeah, we're going to do a show about the homeless. They're wacky. They're wacky homeless people. They're wacky and they're wise. It's just like, what the hell are you talking about? There's nothing fun, wacky about being homeless, nor is it envious to not make enough money to be below the tax threshold. I'm sure there are a lot of people earning minimum wage and struggling who would love to be making enough money so that they could pay into the 33% tax bracket like Gutfeld does. I know I would. Idiot. I mean, it's the same nonsense. He might as well be saying there's a war on the Easter Bunny, and then in December there's a war on Christmas. It's just the same script they wheel out every year.
Of course.
Oh, of course, today, it was, what is it, today, Earth Day? I think today was Earth Day. I had no idea. But then, you know, Fox and Friends were singing praises to fossil fuels. It's the same script.
It's antagonistic.
Lots more politics coming up on the After Party. Oh, and by the way, you can buy the After Party episode by episode at our Bandcamp site. Click the link on the podcast page. Bye!
Oh, Lieutenant Steve. Oh, Frenchie. Oh, Lieutenant Steve. Oh, Frenchie.